I really appreciated the opportunity to work on this because it allowed us as economists to use so many of the different tools and techniques that we use in economic analysis. And I think we came up with some really interesting findings, particularly when you look at what the scope of this rule is supposed to be. I think if I could start out, I just wanted to provide everybody on the phone with a couple of definitions just to get everybody on the same page when it comes to information presented in our study. First is the definition of meat. And we all think we know what meat is, and I'm sure the folks at the AMI know a lot about what meat is. But in terms of the way we used meat in our study, it's a combination, a weighted average, of all of the edible meat types that are consumed in the country, including beef, pork, lamb, poultry, and also offal. It's not an individual kind of product. It's an amalgamated meat product that we're looking at. When we talk about economic impacts, we talk about direct impacts, supplier impacts, and induced impacts. Almost all economic impact studies do that. Direct jobs are the jobs in the industry itself, and that would be the meat processing industry. So those would be jobs involved in packing, processing, wholesaling, and retailing of meat and poultry products throughout the country. Supplier jobs or supplier impacts, are those impacts of supplier firms supplying the meat and poultry processing and wholesaling and retailing industry. So that's going to include livestock and poultry producers, and also companies that supply goods and services to the industry, including everything from packing materials to trucking to communication services. And then there's the induced impacts, and this is what's generally called the multiplier effect of an industry. And the induced impacts in this case are those jobs that come about when people working in the direct and supplier jobs spend their money in every sector of the economy, when they buy houses or they buy cars or they buy donuts, whatever they're buying. So those are the basic definitions that we use. And then just also to point out that this study is a database model. It starts with the baseline economic impact numbers that the AMI commissioned us to put together in 2009, which can be found on meatfuelsamerica.com. All of our analysis is based on publicly available data or on data that we generate using publicly available data. It's not based on surveys, opinion research, anything like that. It's all data-driven. And basically, the way we went through doing this study is we tried our best to determine the price effect of the proposed rule. I'll talk about that in just a second. Then we determined how that change in price would affect demand for meat, as a, you know, this generic meat product that we work with. And then we allocate that impact based on the 2009 analysis across the different states. So the price impact. Basically, the proposed rule is extremely complex. We're not even want to attempt to try to figure out all of the aspects of that rule. But what we were able to turn at it was it basically changes the production structure, the purchasing structure of raw meat livestock. So that the existing structure that relies very heavily on marketing agreements, there's some intercompany purchase, like that, would be replaced by a structure that is much more akin to a spot market pricing structure. So if that's correct, and I believe it is, the price of more directly reflects spot market price of meat than the current price of meat. And we looked back at spot market prices, where spot markets are available, and we found that overall the spot prices are historically higher than market prices. And that makes sense because there's added cost to going to a spot market. There's trader costs and speculator costs, things like that. And also, the spot market, as one would expect, is much, much more volatile than the current market for meat products. And there's a cost of volatility. Volatility leads to costs both for producers and for purchasers. You have to maintain higher inventories. You have to maintain higher cash ratios. There's insurance and storage costs, things like that have to be taken into account. And we put the overall average spot price along with that volatility effect, which we valued, together, we found that the that the average price effect on meat, and we extrapolated a period of time to take into account the implementation of the regulation, that the average price of meat would, at a consumer level, would be about 0.3% higher. And that makes sense. It just it's not a monstrous huge number, and it and when you add in all the you know the sales taxes and things like that, the 3.3% makes perfect sense. Once we had that, we had to determine the volume impact. And economists use a concept called elasticity to determine how volumes react to prices. And for every normal good, and a normal good is any good that's demand falls as prices rise, basically. For a normal good, what we're going to find that effect. As prices go up, the demand is going to fall. And we used elasticity that we actually got from the Department of Agriculture, and we built a model that takes into account different state pricing, takes in interstate demand, all these other things to account for differences in prices and the different elasticities that come about at different price levels, and applied some baseline assumptions on elasticity that we got from the Department of Agriculture, and found that volumes from that 3.3% price increase would fall by roughly 1.7, 1.8%. Different volume changes in different states, but overall about 1.7, 1.8%. We then found volume change, and as volumes fall in any industry, there's effects on employment, on wages, and on output. If I'm selling less meat, I have less jobs for people producing that meat, I have less jobs for the people that are packing that meat, less jobs for the people distributing, and for butchers who are retailing, as well as for the suppliers and other the people that are supplying. Now, we allocated that impact based on our 2009 industry analysis because we just don't have enough information to understand how this rule would affect relative differences between different meat type products or how it might affect one company or another. So we said meat volumes are going to fall by 1.7%. They're going to affect everybody by the same amount. I think it's a reasonable assumption to make with the data that's available. We allocated those costs and those job losses across all the different states and different regions based on that earlier 2009 analysis, and that's what we and that's the results that are on the meatfuelsamerica.com/gypsy site now. So in a nutshell, that's what we did. It's a very standard analysis, a very standard economic impact analysis. It's probably it probably underestimates the effect of the rule because we're only looking at certain components of the rule. We're not looking at legal requirements, reporting requirements, other things that might impact the price, because we just didn't have a way to model that as economists.